are listening to the Way of Truth broadcast, which originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin and Craig inviting you to stay with us, trusting that the Lord will make our broadcast service a blessing to you today. Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for the privilege of sharing this service with this precious congregation today, and we're trusting that wherever there are those listening, the Holy Spirit will accompany it and will make it a blessing to souls. We thank you for our congregation, and we know that they have burdens and cares. And you told us to cast all of our cares upon you. So bless our congregation today. Meet their needs. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Shackled by a heavy burden, neath the load of guilt, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and all the joy that flooded my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since He cleansed and made I will never cease to praise Him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me, oh, He touched me, and all the joy that flooded my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Something happened, and now I know He touched me.
The Apostle John said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." God has a purpose and a plan for every one of us. It is sad that so many people in the world today are refusing to allow God to accomplish His plan and will in their lives. But those who are willing to allow God to direct their path are blessed indeed.
On the cross of Calvary, our blessed Savior died, gave His life to save the world from loss. Sins blood that stained the old rugged cross. 'Twas his blood, his precious blood, that stained the old rugged cross. 'Twas his love that paid the awful cost. Oh, so far astray, come and plunge today in the blood that stained the old rugged cross. To the cross, the rugged cross, they nailed his precious hands, and in death he fully paid the cost. There is pardon in his love for everyone that stands, for the blood that stained the old rugged cross. 'Twas his love that paid the awful cost. Oh, so far astray, come and plunge today in the blood. Pardon you and me, all alone in agony he tossed, and the world once lost in sin can now be wholly free by the blood that stained the
message today has two parts, and the first part is entitled, Since Jesus Gave His Life for Me, and our text of scripture is Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. There are a lot of things in this world that we would call beautiful, and some are not so beautiful. But I would like for you to look for at something or someone who is truly beautiful. And I speak of Jesus Christ, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, the Bright and the Morning Star. There was a couple living in the small village of Nazareth in Galilee, and the young lady's name that I refer to was Mary, and she was engaged to a man by the name of Joseph, and she was a virgin, And the angel Gabriel appeared to her and told her that she was going to have a child. And she wondered how such a thing could be. And the angel Gabriel explained to her that the power of God, the Holy Ghost, would come upon her. And that which would be conceived in her womb would be of the Holy Spirit. And after it was explained to her, you find one of the most potent consecrations that you'll read of in the Bible from the words of the lips of Mary. Be it unto thy handmaiden according to thy word. And she told Joseph about the visit by the angel and what he had told her. And Joseph was evidently not convinced, and he was going to put her away privily. But the angel of the Lord appeared to him and told him to fear not to take unto him Mary to be his wife, for that which was conceived in her was of the Holy Ghost, and they should call his name Jesus. Now, the Bible, the prophet said that Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, not in Nazareth, but God took care of that, and they went to Bethlehem on a taxation journey, and many others did too. And the inn was full, but they found a place to stay in a stable. And while they were there, the Christ child was born. He was born in the stable, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and laid in a manger. There were shepherds out on the hillsides outside of Bethlehem who were watching their flocks by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them and told them that he had glad tidings, good news for them. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And they hurried into Bethlehem and found the child wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, just as the angel had told them. After they had returned to their flocks, and after the taxation was over and the crowd had left, Joseph got a house for Mary and for the young child to live in there in Bethlehem. And there were wise men in the east that saw a star, and they understood and knew what this was. So they prepared their journey and their camels and their goods, and they started out for Jerusalem. Now, the star did not lead them all the way, or else they would have not have gone to Jerusalem. But they came to Jerusalem, inquiring, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Well, Herod didn't know, and so he inquired of the religious leaders, and they told him that their Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem. He told the wise men, now you go and you find him, and when you do, you come and tell me so that I can go worship him. Of course, that was a lie. And after the wise men started from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, they saw the star again that they had seen in the east. And the star came and dwelt over the house where Mary and the young child was. And they opened their gifts and gave them gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And while they were there, the angel of the Lord appeared to them and told them they were not to return by Jerusalem, but they were to go home a separate way. And he appeared to Joseph and told him to take the young child and Mary into Egypt, for Herod would want to destroy the child. And so Joseph left at night and started on his journey, to Egypt, and he stayed there until he got word that Herod had died. And he started on his journey back to Bethlehem, but when he got close enough, he heard that Herod's son was ruling in Jerusalem, and so he turned aside, and they returned to Nazareth and lived there. At the age of 12, they took Jesus to Jerusalem for one of the holy seasons, and he tarried behind, asking of the lawyers and the wise men their questions and answering their questions. And Mary and Joseph found him after 3 days and questioned him as to why he did that. And he asked them if they didn't understand that he must be about his father's business. However, the Bible says, he returned to Nazareth and was subject unto them. And then, at the age of 30, Jesus left Nazareth and journeyed down to the Jordan River. And there his cousin John baptized him in the river Jordan. And the Spirit led him into the wilderness. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And after facing three terrible temptations, Jesus then later returned to Nazareth. And he went into the synagogue, and he read there from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 61 in our Bible, about how the Spirit of the Lord had anointed him to preach deliverance to the captive, to open the prison house, and so forth. And when he finished reading that passage of Scripture, gave him back to the rabbi there, sat down, and he told them there in the synagogue, "This day is this Scripture fulfilled in your hearing." And he said other things to them that upset them, and he took him up on the brow of the hill and was going to push him over it and kill him. But Jesus took his mother and left, and went down to Capernaum. And evidently, he made Capernaum his home there, and he entered into his earthly ministry of preaching and teaching, healing the sick, casting out devils, and delivering people from all kinds of sicknesses and diseases. Opened the blinded eyes, unstopped the deaf ears, made the lame to leap like an art, opened the eyes of one who was born blind, which had never been heard of in all the history of man. And he delivered a woman from seven devils. And this woman became one of his most devoted and beautiful characters, disciples of all those. And I speak, of course, of Mary of Magdala, who became known as Mary Magdalene. Yes, she had been possessed with seven devils, but in Jesus' ministry, he delivered her from those demons. And as he went through not only Galilee, but in Judah as well, he healed the sick, cast out devils, and set captives free. And he told the Jews, a lot of them, that they were a bunch of hypocrites. In fact, he called a bunch of them snakes. And he offended them by uncovering their hypocrisy. And they began to plot how they might destroy him, how they might have him crucified and put to death and gotten off of their hands. In the due course of time, Jesus went up to Nazareth, up to Bethlehem, or up to Jerusalem the last time. And he told, before his crucifixion, and he told his disciples that he must go up there and be put to death and be raised the third day. And so he had the Passover supper with his disciples there in the upper room, and he told them that one of them would betray him. Peter said, "Well, is it I?" John said, "Is it I?" And others said, "Is it I?" And of course, Judas, who was the betrayer, had to say, "Was it him?" because he had to keep in line with the rest of them. But Jesus said, "He that dippeth in the sop with me, he it is that shall betray me." And a little later, Judas was reaching in the sop to get something, and Jesus looked him right in the eye and told him, "What thou doest, thou must do quickly." And so he went out, and he had already made arrangements with the religious leaders to betray Jesus into their hands. And so he took them, after Jesus had finished the Lord's Supper and finished the Passover Supper, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, the place of a wine press. And there he prayed three times. And the third time, the group that from the temple guards, and possibly some of the Roman soldiers, and Judas came to the garden, and there they arrested Jesus, took him back across the Kidron Valley, and took him to Caiaphas' house, and there, after they had gone through a mock trial and found him guilty, supposedly, early the next morning, they took him to Pilate, expecting Pilate to put his approval upon their trial and their conviction of Christ. But Pilate did not. He called in Jesus, or he had to go outside of his own normal place, lest the Jews be defiled. And he took his seat and went outside, and he gave Jesus a trial. And he saw that Jesus was an innocent man, and that they had only done it by spite. And he did his best, it would appear, from the reading of the scriptures, that he tried to free Jesus from them. He even had him scourged, thinking they might have pity on him, but they kept demanding that he be crucified. And when they heard about Jesus from Nazareth, Galilee, he sent him to Pilate, or to Herod, and Herod wanted to see, Pilate sent Jesus to Herod, because Herod wanted to see Jesus perform some miracles, but Jesus wouldn't talk to him, didn't perform any miracles for him, so Herod sent him back to Pilate, and Pilate hit on the idea of a way that he would get rid of Jesus, and he put up two men. It was necessary for him to release one, and he took a very evil man, Barabbas, and he gave them the choice of Jesus or Barabbas. But to his amazement, they demanded Barabbas be released and Jesus be crucified. So finally, after scourging him, they took him up on Golgotha's height, there nailed him to the old rugged cross, and crucified him, as the scriptures tell us. Now, the second part of our message today, since Jesus gave his life for me, should I not give him mine? I'm consecrated, Lord, to thee. I shall be wholly thine. Consecrate, to set apart as holy. Jesus gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a separate people zealous of good works. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Since Jesus gave his life for me, should I not give him mine? If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1, 2, and 3. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake and the gospel's shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 and 26. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 and 20. My home and friends are dear to me, and they should be, but he is dearer still. My all, O Lord, to thee I give, accept it as thine own. For thee alone I'll ever live, my heart shall be thy throne. My life, O Lord, I give to thee, my talents, time and all. I'll serve thee, Lord, and faithful be, I'll hear thy faintest call. Those are the words of a hymn in our hymn book written by Mildred E. Hauer. Since Jesus gave his life for me, should I not give him mine? I'm consecrated, Lord, to thee. I shall be wholly thine. Father, we pray that you'll bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It would be an encouragement to us if you'd take time to write and let us know that you hear and enjoy our broadcast. We'd also appreciate it if you'd give us the call letters of the station over which you hear our broadcast. Our postal address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our fax number, 301-739-7173. Our email address, truth@fred.net. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. You may read our monthly magazine on our webpage. We also have an archive of our radio broadcast. If you missed any or that you'd like to hear some over, you may go to our webpage and download it. And you can also go to our webpage, www.wayoftruth.org, and join us in our Sunday and Wednesday night services. Our Sunday services, our morning worship, begins 20 minutes before 11. Our evening service begins at 6, and our midweek service Wednesday evening at 7. Our webpage address again, www.wayoftruth.org. And now this is Avondale Craig, thanking you for being a part of our congregation today, inviting you to be with us next week, when again, the Lord willing, we come your way with another Way of Truth broadcast.
Since Jesus gave his life for me, should I not give him mine? I'm consecrated, Lord, to thee. I shall be I know he every Just wait.